Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Good afternoon, and welcome to Mentor. What on earth is going on here? Good afternoon, and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. That's a reflex at this point. Just don't punch me in the face. I think it's
Welcome back. Now we're good. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut on Eagle FM. As always, here to keep you company. This is your drive time show. It's at that time of the day when those of us that are still working, grinding, and every day we're hustling because it's either we don't know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy, or we are just scared of being investigated by the ACC. Either way, we would rather grind than spend seven Christmases behind bars. That's how much we value our freedom of movement. Now, so wherever you're tuned in from, thank you for tuning in. And, I'm here to keep you company, this time until the hour of six, where we talk about, everything local, everything national or continental or global. Today's discussion is more, is going to lean heavily on, on the African continent in terms of, in terms of the main source of reference of today's Home Run. But we are going to be getting out of the continent here and there. We are going to find ourselves in New York, we're going to find ourselves in Colombia, and at some parts we're going to find ourselves in France. But all these discussions are going to be tying back to, to the African continent. Like they say, no man is an island. So human beings are social creatures. We can't, solitary is, we don't do well in solitary. You can say, I'm an introvert. Yeah, you can be, even you need to talk to someone from time to time, otherwise you'd go nuts. So, diplomatic relations then, social cohesion, more like that inherent nature of human beings, of not being able to survive individually, being able to survive alone, have somewhat to a larger scale sprung up, or more like has a significant influence into what human beings, into the much larger social or religious or political circles that human beings have formed. It may be argued that they're all emanating from that part of inherent human nature of not wanting to be alone. But I know we have a lot of things going on. By God, this time of the year, you are just surrounded by events. We have a women's discussion going on there in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And we have the ninth Pan-African Congress going on in Lomé, Togo. It started yesterday and it's running until the 12th of December. Now, this is not your ordinary event, because I'm just listening to the beginning. Now, Togo is a French speaking country. It's it's a francophone. So, is Togo French or Portuguese? One of the two, but it's not English. Believe me, because the entire event, it's just one switch from, from Portuguese, French for the most part, with a little bit of English here and there. So I managed to take out an audio that I'm going to be using, that you are going to be listening, that came from that event that was also held yesterday. But I'm saying this was a this was the most African, actually, it's still ongoing. So this is the most African event I've ever had to go through, in terms of basically sitting through the entire duration of the, the entire duration of the session, not the event, because the event is still ongoing. I'm saying it's the most African because spiritual leaders, I'm just there listening to the MC, we welcome all the dignitaries, foreign dignitaries, representatives, and because the vice president of Colombia is also in attendance. And the vice president of Colombia is a black woman. And the black people are somewhat among the group of what you'd call minorities in terms of population in the country of Colombia. Now she's the vice president, and she's the vice president of Colombia. Now you're asking yourself one question: what was she doing at Pan African? I know she's black, but what was she doing there? Well, because this discussion was mostly in Africa, basically, charting its own path in terms of what do we want to learn? What do we want to, what do we want our education to look like? Our pharmaceutical industry to look like? Basically, what do we want our economic, financial, and political sphere to look like? Now, before you start rolling on the floor, I'm not judging you. A couple of minutes ago before I walked in here, that was me. Now, that's not to look down on us. We can still pull it off. It's just going to take a while. It starts with discussions like this one. Well, if you have ever looked up this whole event, then you realize that you have 2/9 Pan-African Congress showing up. And it was also driving me nuts. Because before discussing an event or before when I'm going through an event that I'm going to talk about, I like to look at least one or two previous events. Like, what were they discussing? What were they, where was it held? Who was chairing, and what happened at this event basically, so that I can build up on that. Now, when I said that the ninth Pan-African Congress is taking place in Lomé, Togo, the capital of Togo, I'm going, okay, where did the last one take place? And the 9th Pan-African Congress in Lomé, Togo kept popping up in 2024. I'm like, okay, am I missing something? Well, it turns out, the reason behind that is, because the 9th Pan-African Congress was supposed to be held last year in the same country, same capital city that's being held in as we speak. What happened? The reasons behind are somewhat very questionable because they keep giving general answers like logistical complications or logistical issues. Now, I know when diplomats say we have a logistical, what they mean is we are broke. I know what this, now that's part of my problem with the plans that Africa makes. It's either someone is funding it or it's not happening. There's another point that cements, or more like that backs up the statement I just made, that in Africa, unless, if it's happening, chances are very high someone else is funding it. Well, at some point in the history, it turns out, at some point in the history of the Republic, in the history of this continent, we decided we are going to write our own history, which is a brilliant idea. We are going to write our own history, as in, how they say history is written by the victor. And it's no secret that Africa's image outside, especially outside the African continent, and to some degree, this is actually the irony, to some degree, even on the African continent itself, a lot of people have a lot of misunderstanding of their own history. A lot of us have no clue who we are. Like, we're losing culture, we're losing tradition, we're losing culinary, we're losing education, you name it. Most of it we lost because of the over 100 years of colonialism. Now, when we got out of that colonialism world woods, we realized that, first of all, we weren't communicating in our own native language. Case in point, me using English to communicate with you. Yeah, I know. Awkward. But anyway, we were not communicating with in our own language. We were not, worshipping our own, we did not have our, okay, the mode of communication was not native to Africa. The spiritual discussions, most of it is not native to Africa. And, the education, most of it is not native to Africa. The history, most of it, now that's the one that annoys me the most. Because here's the thing. With all due respect to guys like Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, I had no business going through chapters of those idiots. What I was supposed to learn was Patrice Lumumba and Mobutu Seseko with his questionable leadership. I needed a whole chapter of what happened in that very questionable and most brutal power transition between Patrice Lumumba and Mobutu Seseko. Someone just said to teach me, 1940, Adolf Hitler invaded Poland. What the heck? I've never been to Europe. Now, that's not to say I shouldn't learn European history. I'm just saying, I want to emphasize mine. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Now, before you start saying, okay, no, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, here's the thing. I have come to learn that what Leopold did in DRC is not taught in a lot of schools, if at all, in European history books. Like, if they are not taught about Leopold, why am I learning about Hitler? I'm just saying we're going to have to reciprocate this, or I don't want any part of it. It's not rocket science. You don't want to learn about me. I don't want to learn about you. You have your own dictators. I have my own dictators. My dictators are mostly prepped up by you. Am I here to cook Europeans? No, I'm not. First of all, one, this is home run, not mind the game. How I wish, because the content I have here, I'll try to contain myself. But the energy is just awesome. So, in 2022-2023, somewhere there, the Institute of Security Studies wrote, an article on the African continent and its, what they called summit diplomacy, which I think it's, it sounds like a mockery. That's what I thought too. You know, how they gather up and have, a gathering after gathering annually, but very little, implementation is coming out of these gatherings. So that's what is more often called summit diplomacy. Now, summit diplomacy has its own advantages and disadvantages. The advantages of summit diplomacy is that you get to talk, because the more you talk, the less you bomb the heck out of each other. So summit diplomacy is awesome in that way. Except when it comes to implementation, summit diplomacy is not very good at implementation. Summit diplomacy is very good at verbosity. And private school English. That's summit diplomacy. Case in point, African Union silencing of the guns by 2021. Vision. It's 2025. The guns are still blazing. Now Donald Trump is brokering peace deals on the continent that had silencing the guns by 2021. Now, if you look at it, whether it's a diplomatic discussion or economic investment project that's going on this continent, chances are very high it's not being funded locally. Everyone is running around saying, you have the Lubito Corridor, and the Lubito Corridor is that's a development project. Yes, it is. What is its primary purpose? To ship resources in raw form out of the continent. That's its primary purpose. Before you start saying, oh, it's neocolonialism, easy. Ask yourself, what do you want to use it for? At least let's transport people, improve tourism. If you want a project like that, fund it. The one who is funding the Lobito Corridor Group, they know what they are funding it for. If their goal is to if their goal is to ship resources outside the continent, out of the continent, so they can process, add value addition, and then sell as finished products. That's the reason why they had, that's the reason they had in mind when they came up with the project. They decided to put money together and finance the project. And voila. You want something done? Do it yourself. Now, the problem with us, we are very good at our summit diplomacy, where we sit and talk a lot and do a teeny tiny, teeny tiny bit. And then we meet the following year and talk again, meet the following year and talk again and talk again and over and over and over and over again. So that's why, the most painful discussion you can have in terms of, in terms of summit diplomacy is one of reparation. Oh boy, that's not going to be an easy one. It's going to be an easy discussion to have in comparison to it being an easy discussion to implement. Why am I saying that? In case you haven't seen the irony, the people that colonized us, you know, those people that we are asking to pay for all the chaos they caused, they're also some of our biggest developmental partners. Picture this. It's like you owning a house, but the thing is, now you don't have a job. Your tenant has a job and is paying for all the utilities, so water, electricity, and buying food and everything. Now, the thing is, you didn't give him permission to come into your house. He just came in himself. So, now, you want to chase him, but the thing is, if you chase him, the water and electricity bills are going to skyrocket, and you will have a problem keeping up with all those expenses. Now, the smartest thing to do would be, I don't know, just start by getting a job first, and then you can kick the guy out. Now, the genius part is the guy that has a job has you in an economic chokehold, where he's basically giving you, like, every time he gets paid, oh, I mean, here is $100. No, it's okay. You can just keep it. That's called foreign aid. Here you can have it. Just fine. You can keep it. Here is something, but, this money that I'm giving you, you can just buy food, pay for water and electricity. Well, guess what? That food you are buying, the idiot is also eating some of that food. That water and electricity is also being used by him. So, yes, the money is being given to you, but the advantages that are coming out of that, of all those investments that you are being asked to invest that money into, is also benefiting homeboy. Now, I'm not saying kick out the European Commission and hate everything European. I'm not that pan-Africanist. I like to consider myself as the best candidate for a diplomat. Problem I don't like about being a diplomat is that there is a lot of political correctness on all protocol observed, Your Excellency, His Excellency. Just say, yeah, what's up? Good morning, African Union. Now, where were we? Last year, first of all, we didn't build any industry. We shipped all the resources outside the continent. Now, which is nuts. Y'all have got to stop. Rwanda, DRC, stop that nonsense. Uganda, Cameroon. Don't you guys get tired of being in power? I'm just saying that maybe it's not just a bad idea to, I don't know, hand over to the youth. The youth cannot manage to run this country. Actually, that's the dumbest excuse you can give if you are in leadership position. Because the question is, if the people that are behind you are not fit enough to take over your role, then it's not just their fault that they are unfit. It's also your fault as a terrible mentor. Let's say you die today, then what? Then you have a power struggle, and then the country descends into a civil war. If the youth are terrible at doing something, that you don't trust them with the power you have, you are also terrible at mentoring. Don't just point fingers. Point some at yourself. Actually, well, it happens naturally when you're pointing, unless you're pointing with your whole palm. If you just point with one finger, the rest, oh, they are just saying that, well, yeah, that one is guilty, but, well, you are not innocent either. So, the Institute of Security Study on their, very diplomatic criticism of the African continent summit diplomacy, one thing they pointed out was just how a bunch of summits kept taking place. Italy-Africa summit, India-Africa summit, China-Africa summit, Russia-Africa summit, US-Africa summit, EU-Africa summit. Now, with the EU, our relationship is actually very tight. We have a joint vision 2030. We have African Union, European Union, joint vision 2030. Now, all these are very brilliant economic, economic ties. Brilliant. Like I pointed out yesterday, and everyone that understands, the financial power of the EU as a market, if you want to sell your goods to them, they are, you don't want to lose them as an economic partner because they have the buying power. Or you can lose them as long as you have contingency plans that makes up for that shortfall because it's going to be a giant one. I know it's been pointed out that, Africa itself is a market to its own products. Yeah, there's a little bit of a problem with that. Whatever you are driving to, whatever you are selling to, take for example, DRC, Rwanda, Uganda, you're going to have to drive it through M23. Chances are very high they're going to take it and you're going to lose your business and now you are, out of business. So, today's discussion though is largely based on one event that is like I pointed out earlier, is still underway in Lome, Togo. And, this discussion is, this discussion is about, this is the ninth Pan-African Congress in which is taking place in Lomé, Togo. Started from the 8th and it's running until the 12th of December 2025, and it would not be an event held in Africa if it did not have a theme. Of course, it has a theme. It's an African thing. Actually, it's a politician thing. They have their themes for everything, Before you start saying, oh, no, this is just black people, it's just an... Oh, no, it's not. War on terror, war on drugs, but war on fear. War on crack, as the US, by the way. So, when it comes to giving fancy titles to, fancy titles to operations or themes, to summits, it's a politician thing. Now, the theme of the 9th Pan-African Congress, which is taking place in Togo, is as follow. Open quote, renewal of Pan-Africanism and Africa's role in the reform of multilateral institutions, mobilizing resources and reinventing itself to act. Now, Africa's goal, Africa wants to carve its own path in the modern, globalizing world. Africa wants to find its footing as to where does it fit on this giant, this giant chessboard, full of kings and queens, and we just a pawn. How do we upgrade ourselves to the point where we are made relevant? Where we're basically recognized as a relevant player of global politics, global diplomacy, and global economics. On the other side of the break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, They aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time.
No, this is not 1300 hours. Welcome back to a home run with Helmed on Eagle FM, and here until the hour of 6. The time is just a minute past the hour of 5. And we're going to take a quick break, and then I will bring you an audio that you're going to listen to that I managed to get from the 9th Pan African Congress discussion taking place in Togo. For those of you that have been living under a rock, yes, Togo, not to go. Togo, there is no space. Togo is a country in West Africa. If you don't know where the West is, please look it up on the map. Jesus. So we're going to take a break. I'll bring you that audio. Basically, you know, lay down the foundation, introduce it to you, and then we will get into it. And then on the other side, we will just go through some of the points that the gentleman whose voice you are going to be hearing is going to make. Actually, not his words. It was a speech he was giving on behalf of the African Commission, or the African Union Commission.
Goeie nuus, Kimba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Kimba te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand. Of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Kimba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Kimba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Ipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opo yue ekukulile Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa Nune uto otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshefa omarudi dayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ileko mderewa mora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
And welcome back. So 4 minutes into the hour of 5. So that's a lot of sauce. So again, another sauce. Moving on with home run. When they say everyone has a plan for Africa except Africans, that part is partly and painfully very true. But not here to judge. Just a few days ago, the African not the African Union, the U.S. published its national security strategy. This is a periodical publication that the executive branch has in the U.S. has the power to make, where they lay down like this is the plans we have with this country, this is the plans we have with this regional bloc, like Africa or Asia or North and South America. These are the plans we have. That's them. They're allowed to do that. Now, in the national security strategy that they just recently put out, There's also a part for their foreign policy or their strategy. Since it's a strategy, their foreign policy or strategy with regards to their relationship with their relationship with Africa, especially one that's been, you know. I know that when it comes to these things, I thought you were not supposed to mention any names. It turns out, no, you can mention any names if you are the, you know, one powerful country. Now, one country that was just pointed out there was DRC. But now, you don't have to be told why. Technology is beginning to... get on my nerves a little bit, but you know, let's talk about Africa since my audio is being stubborn, still loading until Africa develops. Now, as part of their national security strategy 2025, the month on the document is November. Well, I just recently came out. Is maybe it's one of those diplomatic things I don't understand. Now, look. There's something interesting about how the Chinese do things. Just put a pause on that and just listen to the following statement. According to the recently published US national security strategy, it says, and I quote, "For far too long, American policy in Africa has focused on providing and later on spreading liberal ideology." End quote. Like, huh? Well, okay. And what again? Go deeper, man of Eagle FM, relax. I literally get paid to go deeper, so, you know. Just grab your seat and just focus on the road if you are driving. Then the document goes on to say that the United States should instead look to partner with select countries to ameliorate conflict, foster mutually beneficial trade relations, and transition from a foreign aid paradigm to an investment and growth paradigm capable of harnessing Africa's abundant natural resources and latent economic potential. You see, the Western world, you know, somewhat fell behind in terms of trade, because they had one strategy post-colonialism that sort of like they used, I think they overused. They thought it was not going to get old, but it turns out everything else, well, as in everything else, the whole idea of foreign aid basically is beginning to fall out of tune with the modern reality in terms of diplomatic relations. So while the Western world was into this handout type of diplomatic relations, and the African continent was just there, you know, couch potatoing, accepting all the aid left, right, and center, and basically sending their kids to private school and then going to Malaysia for a headache and among other things, and going to, you know, to Paris for shopping and Milan with all that aid money. The Chinese did something different. They're like, okay, now, instead of just handing someone something, how about you just go there and say, okay, now let's establish diplomatic relations where you sell me something you have, I sell you something, I sell you something I have. Now, that strategy is actually not new when it comes to, that strategy is actually not new when it comes to the China-Africa relations. Because anyone that have heard of the name of the gentleman, is it Zheng He? Look, just pardon my Mandarin, but the thing is, he's one of my favorite old, when I say old, my dear Lord, do I mean 13 to 1400? Now, this is the gentleman that left China with about 300 ships. About 300 ships. Now, his goal was to sail from one part of the continent to another, because he did not just sail directly to Africa. He sailed through parts of India, Malaysia, and, modern day Horn of Africa. Now, his goal was to exchange products. Now, the thing is, it was very expensive. He was a eunuch. That's a fancy way of saying that his crown jewels were cut off. That was the requirement back then. If you want to serve in the close proximity to the royal, to royalty, your crown jewels must be removed. So that you can focus on your duty, and so that you can just serve the royal family and the royal family alone. That was not the goal. They just didn't want you having kids with the royal, with the royal family. They just decided to everything. Now, it was eunuch, an admiral, diplomat, explorer, and bureaucrat. Yeah, that's one of those words that have lost its meaning. Now, homeboy was not there to say, okay, you know what? I want you to come and work in my plantation. No, he didn't come with that. He came with here is a pottery. What can you give me that is equivalent to that pottery? Now, the thing is, the whole expedition things were very, 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 very expensive. They were costly, they were putting a stress on the Chinese economy at the time. So the king decided, you can't keep doing that anymore. We have got to prioritize people here at home instead of just running around feeding wild people we don't know. Which, to be fair, yeah, that's true. Now, this was in the 13th to 1400s. You want to know when the Portuguese started their, call it a trial version of African colonialism in terms of slavery? 1400s. So that means before the Westerners basically went full-scale colonialism on the African continent, the Chinese already here. Although it was just a hi, it was nice knowing you. I mean, we should hang around, but this whole thing of being nice is expensive. And then guys that were less nice came, showed up, and they were allergic to sunscreen, but they were very persistent, and actually to this day gives me inspiration to never give up on your goals. The China-Africa relationship, showed up somewhat a little late, in terms of post-colonialism, Africa foreign relations type of discussion. Because a lot of African countries maintained to this day still maintain very close ties in economic and diplomacy with their former colonial countries. We still have very close ties with Germany, like with South Africa. Okay. Oh, that's, as well just remove the border. That's how close we are. Politically, economically, corruptionically, we're well connected. We are. Post-independence, a lot of former colonizing countries, decided to sort of keep their former colonies dependent. The former part is somewhat debatable to this day. Dependent in on more like handout, and the thing is, in this running this quote unquote former colonies were a bunch of people that were given a taste of luxury, and then they instantly got addicted to it like it was cocaine. So now you had this I will give you aid, and then I'll give you your natural resources like at a fraction of the price. Slowly, the Chinese shows up and is like, okay, you know what? How about we trade? And the whole thing flips on its belly.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana konongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka opone ushendi finawa nukumona oijabu ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa bura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye
Welcome back. So, where are we? After the whole foreign aid addiction that the West was very good at supplying, and Africans, Africans, especially those ones that were at the top level of central government, were, you know, were very good at accepting. China showed up with a different model of both diplomatic and economic relationship, and now that model is beginning to gain momentum. To the point where even Western countries are, you know, they are changing the way that they interact with Africa from foreign aid, or more like aid handover, to establishing diplomatic and economic ties and start talking about trade. Now, when I found this in the national security strategy of the US, I was like, this is interesting. What did I find interesting? The now back to that national security strategy. The United States should instead look to partner with a select. They're not mixing their words here. It's Trump. I mean, actually, you decide who you wanna partner with. You can't just, you know, have everyone as a friend. I mean, really, we don't do that as individuals. You don't just hug everyone you run into. What if someone has an okapi on their chest? The United States should instead look to partner with select countries to ameliorate conflicts, foster mutual beneficial trade relations, not the one of you better sign here or else, which was it was the case for a very long time. Case in point, Operation Peso. Just Google those words. I don't have time to go into that. Operation Peso. France is going to come up, and Sukotore is going to come up. And now, you can take it from there. Enjoy. Now, basically, back then, former colonial countries had, always had these conditions of, it's either we do it my way, or else. It's either we do it my way, or else. This is the business that we are going to do. I'm going to buy your resources at this price, per this ton. You're going to make money. You and your family. I don't care about the whole country. You and your family are going to be rich. The rest, I don't care. Now, you will have to sign here or else type of relationship. Charles de Gaulle of France was the one brutal guy when it comes to making deals like that. Now, one military strategist or whatever the heck his title, that guy is. Oh, don't worry, he's dead, like a long time ago. Kicked the bucket big time. The relationship have, the idea is to change the US-Africa relations from here is aid, to fostering mutual beneficial trade relationships, plural, and transition from foreign aid paradigm to an investment and growth paradigm capable of harnessing Africa's abundant natural resources and latent economic potential. Now, there is nothing wrong with drawing an economic strategy with Africa's natural resources in mind, because Africa's economic strength, one of Africa's biggest economic strength, is our natural resources. If someone wants to buy, we can sit around the table, talk, and then we can sell. Problem is, most of the people that are coming to buy are coming with a contract in one hand and an AK-47 in the other. And then the people that are now, well, you know, on the African side are going, actually, no, I cannot sign that contract. When they pull out the AK-47, it's like, on second thought, where do I sign? Which is exactly the question I would ask if you approached me with a contract with a with an AK-47 in one hand. You can call me a traitor, but I choose life. Thank you. You can choose you. I'm not dying for you all. Who am I, Jesus? No, thank you. Opportunities for engagements could include, we're back to the, you know, to the discussion. Opportunities for engagement could include negotiating settlements to ongoing conflicts, e.g. DRC and Rwanda. This document, the month here on this document is November. Now, this conflict negotiating settlement that that's referenced in a document that was that seemed to have been drafted or more like finalized in November. We only witnessed this negotiation, this conflict resolution between DRC and Rwanda. Was that last week? See, they write something and implement it right away. Ah, you gotta love to hate these guys. Now, DRC, Rwanda, Sudan, and preventing new ones, e.g. between Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Somalia. Oh, no, they, Somalia and Trump, with his mouth that doesn't have a pause button, decided to rumble a lot and said something very questionable about Somalia. Now, there's a whole heated diplomatic nonsense going on between the U.S. and Somalia right now. As well as action to amend our approach to aid and investment, e.g. African Growth Opportunity, AGOA. And we must remain wary to a resurgent Islamist terrorist group, Northern Nigeria. That's one thing about allowing Eagle FM to get to your head. Things like this begin to happen. We must remain wary to wary of insurgents, Islamist terrorist activities in parts of Africa, while avoiding any long-term American presence and commitments. Now that's the avoiding any long-term American presence. What is this administration doing? Because last time I checked, these guys have about 800 known military installations outside the US. Why am I saying known? Because for the Secret Service, for powerful countries like China, Russia, and the US, they have something especially, of course, the term black site, I think, is mostly frequently used by Western countries, especially the US. You're not gonna, if there's a black site in your country, chances are very high there's only a handful of people that are going to know about it, that are going to be in, let alone that are going to visit that place. It's either you know about it as part of the operation, or you know about it because you ran into it. In that case, then you'll have an accident by being bitten by, a cause of death. He was bitten by a crocodile in Kavango, and he was ran over by a train somewhere in Grootfontein, and he was stabbed by a bunch of Tura boys somewhere in Windhoek, and he buried himself in Ketmasu type of accident. Very accidental, very common accidents, like that one. So the last part of of what the National Security Strategy document says about Africa is actually my favorite, especially the last paragraph. The United States should transition from an aid-focused relationship with Africa to a trade and investment-focused relationship. Well, for the most part, when it comes to this change in trajectory in terms of diplomatic relations between a lot of Western countries with Africa, you're gonna have to thank the Chinese, because this was their model. They showed up with this, and then all Western countries were like, "Oh man, you're not supposed to trade with them. You're just supposed to give them donations to keep them dependent." That's how this whole control thing works. If you want to be an empire, you're going to have to be a maniacal jerk. Now, where was I? Investment and favoring partnership with capable, reliable states committed to opening their markets to U.S. goods and services. The question is, this is where this whole thing now with Africa, the whole document, especially the part that talks about Africa, goes out through the window. This statement is coming from an administration that is tariffing everyone. Like, so, tariff, but can we trade? It doesn't work like that. Now, that takes me back to, what's that part? To foster mutual beneficial trade relations, but tariff. That's one thing I like about politics, about politicians. They lie in very obvious way that it doesn't require a lot of thinking for you to figure out homeboy is lying through his teeth. An immediate area for U.S. investment in Africa with prospects for a good return on investment includes energy sector and critical mineral development. Now, that is one. There's a whole energy transition and tech war going on because China showed up with the trade relations instead of aid. They managed to basically get their fingers scattered all across the supply chain, of a lot of rare earth metals that is used in a lot of tech, equipments. Everything from civilian to military application. Now, the thing is, it's kind of difficult now for a lot of Western countries to build those equipments without running into China somewhere along the supply chain. Then they realized, how about we just, play catch up now with our own supply chain discussion? That I'm suspecting is the reason why politics in DRC is about to get a whole lot of interesting. Mining ownership is about to take a whole lot of transition. Who is in office in Ministry of Mines in DRC? Hey, that guy must be strong. Like, if he wants to serve the African continent interest, or his country's interest, let alone the African continent interest, oh, he's gonna try harder. He's really going to work hard. Because now you have the Chinese, and you have the Americans, all looking at having the same target in sight in terms of natural resources. Like, we're talking about the source of this, like the mine itself. Again, DRC politics is about to get awesome. Then they sign, then the whole thing ends with development of U.S.-backed nuclear energy, liquid petroleum gas, and liquefied natural gas technologies can generate profits for U.S. businesses and help us in the competition of critical. I can't stress that enough. And help us in the competition of critical minerals and other resources. This is a resources competition. It has always been, but for a very long time, it was under the guise of just give me the resources, and then there is this place called heaven that you will go to if you will give it to me for free. But now it's just straight up. That's what we are after, and we have competitors. No, not you, the owner of the resource. We're not competing. What you have, you don't even know how to pronounce the name. You didn't even give that mineral a name. The name you are using to call that mineral is our name. So we're not competing with you. We're competing with the bigger powers, those ones with economic, technological, and diplomatic caliber of our level. There was a time in the history of this planet where power was sort of like both economic and political, was transitioning from Great Britain to modern day United States of America. That's what's going on right now. Usually there's never peace.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
And welcome back. So that brings us to the end of that national security strategy thingy. Now let's come back to Africa. Let's come back to Africa now, shall we? The speech you are about to listen to was the opening speech that was given on behalf of the African Union Commission, which was delivered by Ambassador Ima Al-Juwali, the Director, Citizen and Diaspora Directorate, CIDO, of the African Union Commission. This was at the 9th Pan-African Congress in Lomé, Togo. That event kicked off yesterday. And that event kicked off yesterday and is running until the 12th. Now, what did he say at this event? The theme of the event was a renewal of Pan-Africanism and Africa's role in the reform of multilateral institutions. You know, in the U.S. national security strategy, especially with regards to their relationship with Africa, they know, the who part. Who? Africa. We want a relationship with Africa. What type of a relationship? Well, we had an aid one. Now we want one that is centered around investment and trade. Multilateral, mutual, a lot of questions around that mutual part. I'll believe that when I'll see it. But the whole, outside of that, in theory, it's awesome. In practice, that's what I'm actually waiting for. The theme of the 9th Pan-African Congress being held in Togo is a renewal of Pan-Africanism and Africa's role in the reform of multilateral institutions, mobilizing resources and reinventing itself to act. Now, let's listen to that audio and then we'll continue on the other side. Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM.
Today, the 9th Pan-African Congress responds to challenges as decisive as those faced by our forebears. An unequal global order, structural vulnerabilities, climate injustice, external dependencies, and threats to international peace and security and the constitutional order. But this moment is also filled with unprecedented promise. Africa is the youngest continent in the world. Africa is home to the largest free trade area in terms of population in the world, the AFCFTA, and Africa is set to achieve the Agenda 2063. So Pan-Africanism has evolved from resistance to liberation, to integration, to transformation. And this Congress agenda, which is a dialogue between youth, scholars, spiritual leaders, private sectors, actors, and policymakers, symbolizes yet another step in the continuous journey of renewal as it addresses Africa and the reform of multilateral institutions. So we recall here that our heads of states and government reaffirmed that in the context of the claim for reparatory justice, there is need to address the inequities which characterize the current international economic and political systems, necessitating the reform of the global financial and trade architecture, as well as the United Nations Security Council. And in the same context of reparatory justice, our leaders at the African summit recognized the need to address the consequences of transatlantic enslavement, colonialism, and apartheid, which have persisted till today in many forms, among them debt burden, illicit financial flows, and climate injustice. This was the guidance we received from the summit in the decision that designated 2025 theme of the year as justice for Africans and people of African descent through reparations. The deliberations of this 9th Pan-African Congress are therefore an indispensable contribution to reparatory justice, not only for this year, but for the decade to be launched in the upcoming summit in February 2026. Reparations do have a structural dimension in global governance. The persistence of power imbalances is starkly evident in institutions such as the United Nations Security Council, where Africa remains underrepresented despite bearing the fruits of many decisions. The Congress is therefore a timely opportunity to reiterate that genuine reparatory justice must encompass the implementation of the common African position as contained in the Isiluini Consensus and the CERT Declaration for at least two permanent seats with all the prerogatives and privileges, including the veto if it still exists. This is not a plea for favor. It is a demand for historically grounded equity and for a multilateralism that reflects today's realities. The choice of 8 commissions for the 9th Pan-African Congress is most wise in addressing the Africa of the 21st century, including through resource mobilization, self-centered development, mind decolonization, self-reinvention, reparations, restitutions, the struggle for African and people of African descent against racism, in light of the Durban Declaration of 2001 and its program of action. Of course, of the role of women and the Pan-African movement and the decolonization of knowledge. And as the Congress calls on Africa to reinvent itself to act, we recognize that this call is inherently transcontinental and diasporic and extends to the people of African descent. We therefore recall the Addis Ababa Declaration on Transcontinental Partnership for Reparatory Justice adopted by the 2nd Africa CARICOM Summit, which convened in Addis Ababa on the 7th of September this year. And we also welcome the presence and we also welcome the deliberations of the first ever African Union CELAC ministerial meeting held in New York this past September. It was chaired by Her Excellency, the Vice President of Colombia, whom I salute her presence with us today. The Atlantic Ocean may be a historical, may be a geographical reality, but historically it's only a river that binds the culture and the history of Africa and the people of African descent. So we are committed to deepening the joint African-Caribbean diaspora strategies, advocacy platforms for cooperation. And in this context, talks are underway for the first time to host on African land the annual session of the United Nations Permanent Forum for People of African Descent at the premises of the Union in Addis Ababa. This is a continuing partnership as we contributed to the 4th session of the forum dedicated to artificial intelligence and digital justice, an important topic which we invite the Congress to also address in a cross-cutting perspective, given its centrality for the future. The Congress addresses fundamental questions of culture, knowledge, and identity. The role of African women and youth could not be overemphasized in this regard. Africa has suffered in its past colonial unjust rule of systematic looting and destruction of African cultural, intellectual, and spiritual heritage, as well as deliberate erasure and distortion of African histories. The convening of this Congress is yet another confirmation that an unconditional right of African people to the restitution of artifacts, manuscripts, sacred objects, archives, and ancestral remains. And this is in line with the common African position on the restitution of cultural and heritage resources, as well as the African Union model law on the protection of cultural property and knowledge. Education and knowledge production are central to decolonization. The thematic sessions of this Congress on mind decolonization and self-invention are an opportunity to highlight the imperative to reform curricula, support African scholarship, and invest in archives, documentaries, and artistic works that tell our stories with accuracy. The African Union Commission will continue to promote initiatives that embed Pan-African consciousness, historical truth, and reparatory justice into formal and informal education. I had the immense honor, the African Union had an immense honor, in participating this year in October in Paris at the UNESCO for the launch of the General History of Africa, two new volumes, a volume on Africa and her diaspora, and the other is on global Africa.
You know, Homeboy pointed out a lot of things, and for those of you that just tuned in, welcome to Home Run with Helmed on Eagle FM. If you are waiting for diplomatic language, I'm sorry, I can't give it to you. Actually, that's part of the problem with modern day discussions, especially in the political world. Everyone wants to be Your Excellency. No, if that Excellency stole, just tell them, Tiff. Ogatif, this thing way they do is no good, dude. No good. Now, this is again, if you're in Africa, basically wherever you find yourself, I think the political language must take a different direction. The political correctness, that's why I have a problem now with political correctness. Look, if you are in public office and you steal public funds, I don't care if you are black, white, tall, fat. I don't care what tribe you are from. I don't care if you are fat, straight. If you stole, we're just going to call you thief. That's it. Actually, we're not calling you. We're just describing you. What you have is more like a point of correction. What you don't have is a nail cutter. Because of that, you have now, well, some of the public funds have beginning to stick to your fingers, and now we can't account for millions of dollars. And because of that, Natif, you be, what do you want us to call you? Holy? Because, well, we'd be lying. After all, we are predominantly Christian society, and one of the commandments, if I remember them correctly, says, thou shalt not leave thy fingers too long that public funds get to stuck to it. Thou shalt not cover thine fingers with super glue. Thou shalt regularly use a nail cutter if thou art in public office. Okay, enough King James English. So, the voice you just heard, not that thou art, that was just me. The voice that you just heard, the voice that you were listening to is one of, Believe it or not, I have to be reminded to breathe. That's how excited I become when I sit in this chair and start going through this wisdom. I didn't compile it. Now, this is basically a bunch of screw-ups that was done by a bunch of people around the world, and then someone did me the favor of compiling it into one document so I can just go through it. That's one thing I like about the reports. Some of them are very questionable in terms of their analysis and conclusion, but most of them I'm good with. So the voice you were listening to is coming out of the 9th Pan-African Congress, which is currently underway, which is running until the 12th of December 2025, and the voice you just heard was a speech from the African Union Commission that was read by. Or delivered by Ambassador Omar Al-Jawali, the Director, Citizen and Diaspora Directorate, CIDO, African Union Commission. The man touched on a lot of things, but there are two that caught my attention. There are actually three points that I want to emphasize on. One is the emphasis on education, and two, that obviously spills into how we want Africa to be perceived. We want to write our own history. It's an excellent move. Let's write our own history. Except every time I find initiatives of these programs that are supposedly, implementing the us writing our own history, we're not funding it. We are not funding it. Now, The volume 9 of General History of General History of Africa continues to grow. That's according to UNESCO. Now, the General History of Africa is a series of historical is a history of literary works. Yeah, it's a series of literary works that's being put together by, you know, by scholars around the world, mostly coming out of the African continent, of what we want Africa to be perceived. We want Africa to be seen from our own eye. The last time I checked, the last one that was held, it was held in Paris, France. Out of 50 plus countries, you couldn't find one to host this, this event. And then I looked up why that is. We didn't find the whole thing. Look, my only response was, it's true what they say. History is written by the victor. Yes, it's true. But we are the only victim that's walking with our empty history, with empty books to the victor to help us write our own history. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying the degree of dependency for the love of God. But that was held in Paris, France. The French government had nothing to do with it. UNESCO played a significant role. After all, that's an international organization. It's a UN agency. So that's the part that gave me comfort, helps me to sleep at night. But I still think we should really fund our own projects, like really. Now, at the invitation, now this was in 2023. This is a UNESCO 2023 article. At the invitation of the Angolan Ministry, the Angolan Ministry of Science and Technology, the International Science Committee for the elaboration of Volume 9 of the General History of Africa will hold its fourth meeting in Luanda, Angola, from the 15th to the 20th of February 2016. This is a very, old documents. So the fourth one, the fourth meeting was held in Luanda from 15 to the 20th of February 2016. Now, the meeting was the first of its kind. Volume nine of General History of Africa was the first volume of African history and literary work that was hosted and held on the African continent. All eight of them that came before that were not in Africa. Well, transition happens, people, slowly. Not everything is instant porridge, so go easy. I'm just gonna give them a break. The meeting, the first of its kind, was organized in Africa. The aim was to determine the methodology for the validation of the contributions, examining and validating the first bunch of texts received from authors, African authors, you know, writing African history, African literature from an African standpoint. Have you ever wondered why every Hollywood movie that you watch from, that is supposedly portraying Africans is speaking an accent you have never heard from on an African continent? Take Black Panther, for example. I was listening to that. I'm like, which part of Africa did they get that? Because I know that's not West Africa. Definitely not East. Definitely not South, because that's where I'm from. I should know. Definitely not North, because that's, you are now into Arabic territory. Central? Absolutely not. Have you ever listened to Museveni? Now that is Central Africa. Or close to. Now, when you say, we don't do that here, I'm like, okay, wow. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a nice movie. I'm just saying the accent is, but I can't complain. Again, why? Because I did not contribute a dollar to Black Panther. They put their money together. They made that piece of work that most of us like. So, if you want to be portrayed correctly, spend your own money. That's the only message I keep getting from them. So I can't blame them. So, The meeting was set to provide an opportunity for members of the committee to exchange with Angolan decision makers, scholars, representatives of civil society on various challenges raised by drafting Volume 9 of general history of Africa. The highest authority of Angola attended the opening session of the meeting from the 15th of February, which was concluded with a press conference on which was televised and also printed and also was also on radio, and to basically point to the achievements of going through that work. Now, where is all this coming from? Well, in 1964, UNESCO launched the elaboration of general history of Africa with a view to remedy the general ignorance of Africa's history. The challenges consisted of reconstructing Africa's history, freeing it from racial prejudice, ensuing from slave trade and colonization, and promoting the African perspective. The goal was, let's produce a series of African works so that the world can see Africa from an African standpoint, from an African point of view, from the horse's mouth. That was in 1964. That was UNESCO. Basically, that was the UN. Now, eight volumes of general history of Africa have since been published. Now, the project had a great impact on Africa and beyond within a scientific and academic circles, and is considered a major contribution to the knowledge of Africa's history and historiography. Now, in 2013, this was UNESCO in 2013. This was according to UNESCO in 2013, and also and UNESCO launched the development of Volume 9 in 2013. Now, they met in France, I think, a couple of months or a couple of years ago. Wait, was it this year or last year? Now, they met in France, where they just congratulated themselves for a job well done with regards to that volume. But if you look at African history, for example, African history is so twisted, Africans themselves are lost. And that was on purpose. My favorite, I like social discussions. This is December is wedding month. You will find two black people that are having two weddings, a black one and a white one. The day that I'm going to get married, someone is going to show up with a microphone of their own to talk about this. Because I know there is no way I'm convincing someone's daughter, you know what, let's just get married the Hambukushu traditional way. She'll be like, are you nuts? And when we get there, I hope I have enough money. To just laugh at my jokes right now, so I have enough money to bribe her to do it traditionally. Yeah, good luck with that. No, that's me saying that to myself. Now, my favorite part again is the beauty standards. If you look at beauty standards, Jesus Christ. First of all, let's start with religion in terms of twisting African history. A lot of people think, the Bible is from England. Have you noticed there is Egypt in there and Ethiopia? Yeah. There is Egypt in there and Ethiopia. Basically, the bunch of places that are mentioned in the Bible are North, East Africa, and the Arabic region. Those were the places. You know, Ethiopia is in there. I know. Again, basically, The Christian Bible. The Christian Bible is African history. There, they ran to Egypt. The eunuch from Ethiopia. And then you have the, you know, you throw in your pyramid, you throw in your Sudan there. And then you, now you talk about Syria and all that. There is no London and Edinburgh in the Bible. There is Ethiopia. But for someone who will tell, well, this is from you. Oh, no, look, that's one thing I like about those guys. They stole it and then added on their own je ne sais quoi so that it can basically relate with them. And like, okay, that's interesting. And then you have, now, whoa, beauty standards. Now, and also, that's why the Christians, you're going to have to excuse me on this one. You know that picture you have of Jesus on that wall? I have a problem believing that is Jesus because he would have been the first white guy in the Middle East somewhere in 20 and 30 BC in the Middle East in the desert, a blue eyes and blonde hair without sunscreen. Can you imagine what a terrible idea that would have been? Frame it. I don't care, but I don't have a problem. Frame it, just look up. But every time I see that picture, I'm like, yeah, right. If that's the case, then why do you guys need sunscreen to survive Namibia? I mean, if your ancestors survived the Middle East without sunscreen, surely you guys are good. No, this is very hard. I'm like, ain't no way it was white. I can imagine there are a bunch of Christians waiting for me at the gate right now, you know, with the holy oil. Don't worry. No good. Now, beauty standards are actually the worst. Everything beauty standards is tied to non-African features. Long pointy nose. Have you seen the nose of a typical African? It needs to be wide enough to take in enough air. Because of the heat, the oxygen is scattered. You don't have the high concentration of oxygen that you find in very cold, low-lying plains. We are very high up in the plains, which is why we need wider nose. You can make it like Michael Jackson, but then you're going to have to find a very cold place to live. Because if you find yourself here, you are literally to some degree cooked. And then you talk about food. Mawene. It's not a party unless you have potato salad. Again, you see, Africa needs a serious remedy when it comes to accepting who we are. Because we spend a lot of time in what we do, what we say, and the way that we behave mostly, denying our own, our own identity. Petrus Marcus. Those are your names? Petrus Marcus, really? If you're black and your names are Petrus Marcus, I have so many questions. Which I'm not going to ask depending on how muscular you are, because, well, that's not how I lose my teeth. But Petrus Marcus, what tribe are you? I'm Mbukushu. What's your name? Petrus Marcus. How the heck are you proud to call yourself Mbukushu, but your name is Petrus Marcus? And then there's one that there's one that's coming out of your culture and tradition, and you hate that name to the point where you are willing to shoot anyone who will call you by that name. But hey, Pan-Africanism, we are black and proud. No, you are not. Black and proud, my behind. If you're black and proud, why Petrus Marcus? But hey, I'm not here to judge because it's not Sunday and not mind the gap. Nah, on that one, I swear I'm here to judge. We're going to take a short break and then we'll sign off on the other side before handing over to business and economic segment. That is with yours truly, David. This is Homerun with Helmed on Eagle FM. Please, stay tuned. Petrus Marcus. Now, for any Black Petrus Marcus out there, you and I know that I don't know you. And you don't know me, most likely. Commercial break.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat spice, poikis ready, even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get here without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. It's just 2 minutes past the hour of six that brings us into the business and economic segment time slot. And for yours truly here, that brings me to the end of Home Run. So until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station. Y'all drive safe, behave out there. Don't do what I wouldn't do. I stole Michael's strategy. Signing outwards. Don't do what I wouldn't do. But if you find yourself on the other side of the consequences, name it after me.